It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I thought about that conversation again today. I think about it every time I buy bananas. And you too.
Me too.
And I pick up the bananas and I put them on the scale and there's like a lot of them and it's $1.11. Everything is way more expensive than before.
But bananas.
A bunch of bananas
are holding
$1.11.
Right.
You got to wrap them in foil. Yeah. I bought a bag of spinach that was $4. Crab meat, forget it, like 30.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I know, like, first world. My crab meat is too expensive. But the point isn't the crab meat. The point is the bananas don't change. The bananas are still the bananas. They're still like a dime each.
Yeah. Preserving them is about flavor, not economics.
Okay.
That's all there is to it.
Oh, I forgot.
I'm not really worried about the, you know, the 7 cents a banana or whatever it costs.
Well.
Or whatever you say that.
What did you shoot today?
Holy.
Maybe you're too distracted by your golf.
To care about the price of bananas. No. Golf has been a process.
Don't worry out there.
It's been a real process.
Don't worry out there. The Memorial Day, the annual Memorial Day speech is still in the green room for tomorrow, because it's about Monday. The benefits of Memorial Day extend to even like as soon as today. Look around our office. It's already Memorial Day weekend here. Like, there's nobody out there.
Every day here is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, well, okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
I mean, not to tell on anyone.
But there's not even Ross is here.
Says the guy who gets here at 2:15 every day, by the way.
I know. Like,
I don't know who exactly I'm judging. There might actually be people here in the morning.
Ross or Amanda are out there right now. You can usually count on one of them.
Well, I did say to you off the air, like, you're in a little trouble here, and you went right to Monday, which does look nice, and it's actually encouraging. I feel like it's that forecast has gotten better as we've gone day by day here, I feel like.
What do you know?
But the whole weekend is the thing, I think. Memorial Day weekend. I feel like you always brag about how beautiful it is for the entire weekend, and we're maybe in a little trouble by Sunday. Maybe we're clearing up.
I can't guarantee for you 3 perfect summer days every year on this weekend.
It is a lot to ask.
What I can promise you is it's meaningful, that will make you feel something to start the weekend, or even just on Monday. That's important. That's good. I mean, no offense. Labor Day, who do you salute on Labor Day? Like, who do you raise a glass to on Labor Day?
The American worker.
The American worker. Like, so us. Memorial Day is way above Labor Day and a lot of other holidays.
We are not the American worker.
I mean, it's way up there. So it's got that. That's where you start. That has to be first. And then beginning of summer, usually great, even perfect, if it's not. So you have to play Scrabble on, worst case scenario, you play board games on Monday, or you watch, you know, a Harry Potter marathon. Is that so bad? You'll leave work tomorrow. You know you have the 3 days. It's not even June yet. The sun's up at like 5:30 in the morning.
You are
all of it is just the best.
So defensive about all this.
Harry
Potter in board games?
Defensive.
From it's one of the best days of the year to like worst case scenario, I'm watching Harry Potter movies?
Whatever. What do you want me to, what movie do you want? What, Rocky? You have Rocky. I don't care. You want to watch lacrosse playoffs? Watch the lacrosse final on Monday.
I want to watch my golf ball fly through the air and not plug into the mud soaked fairways. That's what I want to do on Memorial Day.
Okay, well then, I don't want to say what I want to say now.
I'll probably
play somewhere else. Maybe you can find a place where the ball will bounce for you.
Actually, the place that I play at Delaware Park, I have tee times for Sunday and Monday morning, and with all this rain, I'm thinking lots of places will be in pretty tough shape. Even this weekend, Delaware Park will not be one of them.
That's good.
There is one spot on that golf course that holds water, and it's from the tee box to the green on a par three. And there's a cart path that you don't even have to walk through the junk. I mean, if you hit your ball in it, then you're in some trouble. But there will be standing water there. Anywhere else on that golf course is dry as a bone.
Then what are you worried about?
You're just trying to find holes
in my argument.
Well, that's it. Yeah, because you know you've just
Harry Potter
for years here. You've talked about you don't like my aluminum foil on the bananas and my French vanilla ice cream. I gotta pick at you with something.
Of course, right? 50 years in a row, it's a perfect day. Then one time it might be a little cool. Maybe the ground is wet. Oh, no.
I'm going to take it out on
Sorry.
You.
Sorry. You know, it's not going to be like July 4th on a Wednesday, or you have to go to Aunt Barb's, you know, for you to put a suit on and go to your cousin's house. You don't even know them. You're just going to talk about politics all day. Memorial Day, just grill some hot dogs. And, you know, if you don't want to watch Harry Potter, you don't have to. You can watch. Well, you can't watch the Leafs.
No, that's right.
But you can watch whatever. You pick. Yeah. There's 100, not 1,000 options. Yesterday, we're complaining about all the streaming options. There's going to be, watch a Mad Men marathon or whatever. Like, it's not even going to come to that. Monday's going to be real nice.
Yeah.
Monday's going to be nice, and you'll appreciate it more because Saturday, if not also Sunday, we're a little, you know,
I think
gray,
so. I think dreary. Sunday looks okay. Maybe a little dreary, but I think as the day goes on, it looks, listen to me like I'm a weatherman here. But yeah.
Sounds great.
Saturday looks tough, but Sunday, Monday, I think we'll be all right.
So, this has taken a few more minutes than I had anticipated. It is May 22nd, also known as Josh Allen's 30th May 22nd. We didn't spend a lot of time on his birthday yesterday, but I wanted to raise a question, and anybody who wants to is willing to jump in right now, all day. We have, what, two guests, so we'll work around that. But I'm hoping for fans to jump in with an answer to this question, because I think most Bills fans who think about Allen and his career, like, you know, in any depth, would have a name for this. He just turned 29 yesterday. I don't have to tell you what he's accomplished, what he has meant to the Bills, what he means in the league. Who is your favorite, or you think the best career comp for Allen?
Ooh. Huh.
This is where Bulldog thinks about the fact that I did not ask him this earlier. He likes to tell you that he likes
I do like this because I can be an overthinker.
I thought about telling you this idea a couple hours ago when I was making veggie chili with cornbread cheddar biscuits.
A little subtle brag there. Biscuits, huh?
Yeah.
From scratch?
From scratch.
Wow. That's
first time. That turned out great.
All right. Good job. When did Elway first get to a Super Bowl and lose? Pretty early,
Elway.
Right? Within 5 years?
John Elway. All right. Let's start there. John Elway was the first pick of the 1983 draft. 1986 season was the drive. So he was in the Super Bowl in his fourth year. Okay. And his fifth.
Right.
And his seventh.
Right. Loss. Is there another one in there? Two.
Late. Giants. Washington. Niners. He beats Green Bay. Was it only three? It might have been only. Was there one more? I think there's one more. Denver had four losses, but one was pre-Elway.
Oh, okay. Craig Morton against the Cowboys or something. Butch Johnson.
And Norris Weiss.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, that's right. So he had the three losses, but still.
Through his seventh year, Allen is 7 years?
Yeah, he's going into year eight, right.
So through 7 years, Elway had been to three.
Okay, then let's table that.
But look, what makes it interesting is, there are many ways to attack it. And team, I think what you just sort of came up with is probably pretty common, where you would think about, because it's quarterback, you would never do this for any other position, but because it's quarterback, you would think about team results. What did his team accomplish? Allen, like, he could get there, he could win four, for all we know. But to this point, there's a but with him, like, and he might not even deserve it. Mm-hmm. But there's a, you know, yeah, but Mahomes, you know, he hasn't gotten there yet. And there are so many variables it's almost unfair. It might just be flat out unfair to do it.
Yeah.
The competition in the conference was, did Elway have a Mahomes?
I mean, he had Marino right away.
He had Marino.
Eventually he had Kelly. I mean, you know, there was 3 years there where he didn't at the start of his career, but by the time he gets to the Super Bowl, he's got Kelly.
And even Montana.
And eventually Warren Moon. So Hall of Fame players, all of them. So, I mean, there's enough similarities there. I think Elway, I would guess Elway is a quick answer for fans who are maybe a little younger than we are, or maybe, you know, 15, 20 years younger than us. Because what a fan that age might remember about Elway is that it took him until the end to win Super Bowls, and then he won two in a row. And they might not have right there at their recall that he went to three so early before they were really cognizant.
So he
following the league.
He wins in 97 and 98, and he was drafted in 83. So what? Years 15 and 16?
It took a minute for him to win one, not to get to one. Peyton Manning, that has been mentioned because of really his struggle to get past the Patriots and Brady. And that maybe pretty closely mirrors Allen and Mahomes and the Chiefs and the Bills, I think. In fact, last year, I think Manning finally did it in year 7. And got past New England, and there was that, you know, I recall that, at least seeing that. I never fact-checked it, but I assumed it was true, because fans were looking for anything to cling to, like, this is the year.
Well, so
it lines up.
Manning wins in year 8, and this will be Allen's year 8,
okay.
Right? 2005, I think, is Manning's, I'm sure of it. 2005 is Pittsburgh. 2006 would be Manning's year. So year 9, I think. He's drafted in 98. 98 draft.
All right, so I've got the 7-year thing mixed up here. Maybe it was 7 meetings or something. Whatever it was.
Maybe, but I think it's his 9th year when he wins. And I think that can work. Manning, for me, I was always like very defensive about this. Much more so than I am about Memorial Day weather, that he's the best quarterback in the sport. Like year after year, he would outplay Brady. But Brady would win more. And when they would meet in the playoffs, Brady would win. So I guess that means he's better, which I never subscribe to and I still don't. So does Allen quite have that? He almost does. I mean, it's been, for a few years, a makeable argument that he's the best. Jackson, you know, has been better. Mahomes has more hardware. But I think it's a makeable argument that he's the best. And that can be said for the last few years. So that comes close to Manning.
Yeah. Yeah. It did take that long for him to actually get his team to that point. And so, you know, that it's not like it's late already, but it's, you know, again, he turned 29 yesterday. I made a sound when I saw that. I mean, I know how old he is, but just seeing it, like, okay, let's go.
Will he make a sound at your birthday coming up?
I doubt it.
You think he'll be like, wow, that guy is
60?
That guy is 60?
It's a big one. Will. I'd be flattered. I mean, I kind of doubt it.
Eric, you have a name for us?
That's more of a negative if this continues take, and that if this keeps up, it reminds me kind of like what happened with Warren Moon in Houston. It was never Warren Moon's fault. He was doing great and didn't have the great of legs as Josh, but he was decent on the run, and his arm was certainly amazing, and it seemed like the organization had good pieces around him here and there, but always then scratching your head of why they couldn't get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl and finish the job. I'm sure there were questions around the coach and everybody else, but rightfully so, nobody but Warren Moon, and with the Bills, absolutely, nobody's questioning Josh Allen, but
okay.
Geez, what is it going to take to break through and finish the job. So that's
okay.
That's the end of mine for me.
We'll let you go so you can get your wipers fixed.
I was going to say this. How good are phones these days? That's got to be wipers.
But yes. Okay. I mean, Moon never got there. Elway did. Manning didn't until 06. Didn't even get to one until 06. I've got three other names of my own to throw in. And then I texted Sneaky Joe and he gave me a couple other ones. So here we go.
Okay.
Josh Allen's best career comp or your favorite career comp for him? I think in terms of his style, and I guess for the most part, his career, one MVP, no rings, is Cam Newton. The quarterback I think he is best compared to is Cam Newton. I think Allen has ascended, and not even like that recently, to a place where he's better
mm-hmm.
than Newton. But the way they're both like impossible running threats and good to great in the through the air. Like Newton is who I think about the most for Allen with Allen's future in mind. Like how he'll hold up
mm-hmm.
physically. Because Newton kind of just sort of he had personality challenges. I'm not meaning to blame him for that exactly, because that's a two-way street. But he had sort of off the field things that maybe didn't help him. And physically, I don't know. Like we never got to see him because teams stopped believing in him. We never got to see what like old Cam Newton would have been on the field. I mean, New England, went back to Carolina, but that was kind of it.
Yeah, well, that's because even middle-aged Cam Newton looked like old Cam Newton. You know, I mean, I think so, like, there's no, and not that you're saying that there's an injustice that he didn't get to, you know, but he never, the personality, I think, that piece kept him from getting one last shot anywhere, like catching on somewhere. I mean, how did I sound about that idea in 2018 or 19 when he first maybe became available? There's a comp, you want to have a backup who can run the same offense. Well, there you go. But I didn't want the personality here. I think that probably for a role that is at best competing for playing time, if not being a backup flat out, that's a big personality to fit under that hat. And that probably kept him from that kept us from ever seeing him play at the age of 36 or 37.
We probably won't get that.
No, I think that's over. Yeah.
I think Tarkenton is an interesting name for Allen.
Has the show ever sounded older?
In the sense, like the team context sense. And Tarkenton was, other people would know better, but I think I'm right in saying like he was a unicorn as a quarterback. Like the running element, just other guys just did not do it. And he was, you know, kind of like a early stage Allen, where he would just run all over the pocket, all over the field to try to find somebody. There's just some incredible clips of Tarkenton.
Not the physical specimen Allen is, obviously. Not at all. But you're kind of a little guy, like more like a scat back playing quarterback.
More like Murray.
Yeah,
probably.
Sure, that works. Yeah, yeah.
But
there's Super Bowl losses, right.
A guy who's somewhat defined by, as Allen will be if it doesn't change, the team not getting all the way to the top. So Tarkenton, I thought of, let me give you two more. Allen's best or your favorite career comp for him? I'll give you two more. Fouts.
That was the first guy I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, you thought I would say?
Okay. Yeah.
Fouts is, again, I have to admit, it's through the team lens. The Chargers they never made it. They went to AFC championships, plural, back-to-back even. He was always a Pro Bowl / All-Pro player, would lead the league in stats.
And then had to play.
Never made it.
At minus 30 degrees in Cincinnati or something in the playoffs. And
the Freezer Bowl.
Just sort of do it.
Had to go from the Orange Bowl where Winslow is fainting in double overtime.
Right, one of the longest games ever.
Double overtime in, like, scorching heat to the Freezer Bowl the next week not an easy task. But Fouts, Hall of Fame career, numbers, wasn't a runner. Guys like that, guys in that era rarely were.
No, Tarkenton is a little before that, obviously, but still it was rare to have a guy. A guy like Tarkenton, I bet, might really wish that the league had evolved to the point that it's at now when he was in his prime, because nobody was designing stuff for him to do, I don't think. It was just, he just did what he did.
Yep. And one more that comes really close in terms of style of play and team results is, of course, Lamar Jackson. It may be the best career comp for Allen at this point is Lamar Jackson. MVP. I mean, Jackson has two, but still, MVP. Great seasons, playoff losses to Buffalo and to Kansas City. Like, it's tough out there. Like, it's both guys will be remembered. If it ended now, both guys will be remembered as great, like elite, great stars.
Just not being able to get past Mahomes.
They don't have a championship. Like, right. They don't even have an appearance in the Super Bowl. So what is it? So Jackson, of course, I mean, they're the same age, and that's different. Like, you're not thinking historically at all. But so a few nobody's perfect here. Sneaky Joe, I mentioned, the first name he gave me was Brett Favre. And, you know, I didn't ask him to explain that, but we could do it. It's like just sort of the miracle plays, the talent where he does things. Even Favre is a long time ago now, like prime Favre. But especially young Favre would be like, young Favre is young Allen, where there's he would do insane things and also like, why?
Right. Like, why did you throw that ball? Why did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that works. And he's not the runner, but he ran around. That's part of the recklessness. You know, like he was extending plays and throwing balls into three dudes and just like, whoa, dude. But he won, what, that's 93 when they beat the Patriots? 96, okay. So how long is that into his career? When does he
not start? Super long, like 4 or 5 years. Okay. What, I mean, he's in Atlanta.
Right.
But Green Bay is like maybe 92 or 3.
Okay.
Where he becomes a star in Green Bay. I want to say 93 at the latest. And then 96, they win it. So pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then never another one. They got back the next year and lost, and that was it. Played a long time. NFC Championship, Minnesota.
Right.
Who is your favorite or who you think is the best career comp for Allen?
Lost that second one to Elway.
That's right.
Right.
They were huge, double-digit favorites.
That's right where we started. That was the first name that came out of my mouth, and here we are at the end, and it's Favre and Elway.
803-0550, Matt Larkin, Hockey News on the playoffs and the Sabres. Andrew Filippone later on. Strangely, he asked for no Pittsburgh sports questions.
Mm.
We'll see. Maybe we'll have to trick him. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Your call's next on WGR.
My favorite thing about Dion is Dion does Dion, and he does it really, really well. Said this before, if I'm going to go to a clinic, walk up there, and I'm going to teach 350 offensive line coaches, I will use Dion's stuff, like his hand stuff. Dion does Dion, and Dion does not care. And it's awesome to see. He might be one of my favorite players of all time in the NFL.
Jerry Ostrowski on Deion Dawkins. Dawkins helped initiate the process, if not downright did it himself, for the new award announced yesterday, made official, Protector of the Year for the best offensive lineman in the NFL. I will be curious for how they decide that, like how the voting looks. Is that going to be a betting award? Best offensive, all the other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive player of the year, all the other ones are.
Not for us, but yeah.
Not for us, but how they decide on who should win. I bet it's very media narrative driven. You know, whoever certain guys in the media decide are their favorites, and they won't have to be wrong. But I'm sure there's certain biases that will be in play. They'll tell us who the best guys are, and voters will maybe succumb to that. Or
maybe some of those people are the voters themselves. Who knows? I'm not sure.
Or instead, actually study it really. That's what you would like to have happen. That takes forever.
Right. That takes work.
What am I going to do? Sit around all day, every day, watching linemen every game, every week? I don't know. That seems like a lot.
You might look at some rankings, sacks given up, penalties, that kind of thing, and then last minute, put a name on the ballot.
I'm already Peter King. What am I going to do? Crush Indianapolis, Tennessee film and tell you whether Quentin Nelson had a good game? I mean, I kind of already think he probably did because he's Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
It's not really fair to Peter, but, you know, it's probably going to be some of that out there. Josh Allen's best career comp. Who's the player he comes closest to historically? A lot of interesting names. Some are through the team lens. Some are through, like, his style of play. Who would you pick? 803-0550. Louie is on WGR. Hello, Louie.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. First-time
Thank
caller.
You.
Yeah. As far as Josh Allen goes, Steve Young, the guy he grew up watching, he plays like Steve Young, but he's bigger and stronger. And another one is Johnny Unitas, which a lot of people listening today probably don't have a clue as to who he is. But he would put the ball under his arm and run. And as far as Deion being the best lineman, I think he might be, but he's got to go up against Will Wolford, Howard Ballard, Jim Richter, Kent Hall, Reggie McKenzie, Joe DeLamalur.
Not to mention all the other players in the league, historically ever. Speaking. Anthony Munoz, yeah. You might want to include on your
the
list.
The award here is for the best, like in the current season.
Current day guy, yeah, right.
Well, for a second rounder out of Temple.
Yeah, he's done great.
He's done great.
He's had a great career, and I mean, I played guard in high school for O'Hara, so like I'm, 5'11", 250 now, whatever, but I would put my hands in Deion over basically anybody in the league because he's such a caring person.
Yep, he seems like he's been a home run for the Bills. So.
Yeah. Thanks, he has aced off the field and on the field. And that is not always an easy thing to pull off, but he's managed to pull it off.
Unitas, I need to hear more. Like, Unitas was the best ever before Montana. Like, he was everybody's the best ever. And he didn't establish that, even though maybe he could run through that. So, style-wise, I don't know. And Allen doesn't have that luxury. Like, he's not the best.
No.
You know, he's one of the best.
I like the Steve Young comparison.
Me too.
I mean, athletically, running-wise, I mean, Young was, for that era, the best, I think, at it. And again, it wasn't as commonplace. So a guy that did that really kind of stood out more. And even to an extent, in that era, being a runner, you could have gotten dinged for that. Like, it hurt your standing in the eyes of people who wanted a quarterback to just stand there in the pocket and throw the ball. If you're running, it's because you couldn't throw it well enough or didn't see it well enough down the field to throw it. So you're taking off, and it was a criticism. It's only been really in the last 10 or 15 years that has started to really dissipate. And you're just seeing more and more guys that are capable of doing it. They show up in the league every year. Jaden Daniels last year. So there's great value in it, and teams have figured that out. But Young had to fight uphill against that, along with being in Montana's shadow for as long as he was too.
Definitely did. All right. Randy dropped off. Here's Arif next. Hi, Arif.
Hey, thank you. First-time caller. Yeah, I'm going back to the fellow I was just talking about. Jody and Reggie. I saw O.J. Simpson in person when he got 2,000 yards. They carry him on the shoulders. You know? So this is how far back I think in those days, Stabler and Fouts and those QBs, they had to play from the center and, shotgun was very rare. And to keep up with the receiver was difficult because You could hit them and all of that today, and he can't touch the guy.
Right.
Well, just so Stabler, one of those guys, win, baby, win. You know, remember that.
Stabler is an interesting name. He did get one, but the Raiders teams before that were like the Bills teams in that they were always short. They
bumping their heads on the Steelers.
That's basically. Right. And Miami, like they didn't get there until 77, and Stabler had been on the team since, I think, 72. So that's okay. That's okay.
He was one of my favorites as a kid, Stabler. Anybody that was butting up against the Steelers became one of my favorite teams. And so that's how I got to those Oilers teams of that era, a little bit later, really. But those Raiders teams, I mean, from Immaculate Reception on, I was like, go Ken Stabler, go Raiders, because I was just sick of the Steelers.
Stabler would have been the hero of that game if not for the Franco Harris play, whether, you know, which maybe shouldn't even have counted. But Stabler goes into that game and rips off, speaking of like Allen comps, they're down 6-0 late, and he rips off like a 40-yard touchdown run in relief for the lead. And they're going to do it. Finally, they're going to do it. And then that happens. So Stabler would have been like the big hero, but that happened.
I would not. That play at the end just dwarfs the entirety of that game. If you had asked me, like, just in a bar, do you think Kenny Stabler ever had a 40-yard touchdown run? I would have laughed at you.
Maybe it wasn't 40.
Having seen any kind of
It's a great run.
He does not look to be like a guy that was going to hurt you with his legs. I just want to say it that way. I guess, like, to me, in my mind's eye, he is, you know, slow and sort of, you know, almost look like, I had a run.
It's a 30-yard run. Would that change anything?
No, not at all.
It's a 30-yard run.
20 would have been, I would have laughed at 20.
But it's a great run. Like, it's not sort of easy at all. Like, he has to duck and dodge and he makes it. But that happened. He would have been the hero.
Sure, no doubt.
By the way, Arif, the caller, Bulldog saw OJ get lifted up. He remembers that.
On TV. Arif's talking like he was there, and like I didn't get clarification there. But I did see OJ in that season, 73. I went to a home game against the Bengals that year.
You would have watched the game where he broke 2,000. You would have seen him be 100%. Lifted up.
Yeah, I've even said, I didn't – this has held true for my whole life. I'm 8 years old for that, 8 years old for that. And I don't – the whole year I'm watching, you know, the stats and his totals, and they're talking about the Jim Brown record, which was 1860 something, I think, whatever, in that range, and how he's close to breaking that going into the game. And my brain didn't process that 18, whatever it was that close to 2,000. So when they started talking about 2,000 yards during the game, like, oh, wow! I did not connect that he had a chance, if he could break Jim Brown's record, that 2,000 was in the window. You know, my 8-year-old brain didn't work that way.
1863, is that what you said?
Yeah, I said 1861, I think.
Okay, 1863 is the number.
I thought it was 1860 something, so good.
You're right.
Yeah. I didn't know he was, you know, 140 yards from getting to 2,000 when I sat down to watch the game. Then suddenly I'm like, oh, that's cool. 2,000, that's a nice round number.
So they took OJ out after that?
Yeah, he got to I think so. That was not like the, you know, it was near the end of the game, but it was not the end of the game.
They lift him up, they carry him
off the field.
And that's it.
Yeah.
They don't risk a 4-yard loss or something that would have put him back under.
I guess not. No, I don't remember him carrying the
ball.
They
could have left him in to sort of make it harder for future running backs.
Sure.
Because right now, he's 9th all time.
Right.
8, including Saquon Barkley by 2 yards
last
year. 8 running backs have had more than 2,003 yards in a season.
14 games.
I watched one of those. There's some excellent documentaries on OJ's life and the murders and everything. I watched one of them recently, and it was the chase scene. And Al Michaels, who I love, friend of the show, Al Michaels, is one of the, you know, he just calls in, knows OJ, worked with them, L.A., like he's just sort of on the broadcast. He has Howard Stern had that famous thing with Al Michaels, lest anyone think. Like, so Al Michaels was like a part of the broadcast on ABC, and OJ, the Bronco is, you know, going along, the motorcade, basically, the Bronco, and Al's like, this is shocking because there's never been any indication ever that OJ Simpson could do something like this. And you watch the documentary, like, what about those 20 domestic violence allegations? Like, really, there kind of has been. Really, he kind of was somebody where you, yeah.
I can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And poor Al's like, this guy?
Yeah.
Of anybody? It's tragic.
143 yards a game for OJ in 2003.
Yeah, 14 games.
143 yards a game.
Would that be the record? Probably. Because, you know, Barkley's 17 games.
Yeah.
Eric Dickerson is 16 games.
Yeah. I've never added it up. I don't know. But I just, for some reason, I was looking at that. I think I misread something on Twitter about, it was like, oh, I know what. It was like career rushing yards per game. And OJ wasn't like in the top 10. And I thought, well, what are we doing here? And I realized it was, you know, for an entire career, like Jim Brown is at the top with some gaudy number.
We'll take a break. Josh Allen's best career comp, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Talking about comps for Josh Allen historically is fun, both because we're talking about quarterbacks from the past, which is fun, you know. Some of you remember some of these guys, maybe all of them. There are guys that we don't remember. There are other guys that you've never seen that we talk about. That's all good. And it's talking about Allen, which I feel like in general we don't do enough of. I mean, he's there, and really I would say pretty much all of this is owed to him. I just respectfully don't think any of this happens with average quarterback play, like any of it. It's a different coach now. It's a different GM now. Come on. But, you know, I still think we don't sit around and do the Chris Farley show and talk about Allen, like, you know, you remember this play? Wasn't that awesome? It just
right.
It's there, but it's not too often that we just sort of sit with it and thinking about, like, historical comps. It's fun to just itself because you're figuring out how you'd want to frame it. Is it because he runs? Is it because his team has fallen short? Is it because of some other combination of factors that make you think he aligns best with this other player? It's good stuff.
Yeah. I you know, yesterday being his 29th birthday, I'm not one who usually, you know, I'm up in the morning and I'm thinking about this, right? I'm thinking about today and what do we got going? And so anything, and like, you don't have to work very hard to find a highlight reel of great Josh Allen throws. If you're following enough people who are in Bills content creation or whatever, like almost every day there's going to be something. And I don't usually, you know, with him, I make an exception. I almost always watch what comes across because I do. Like yesterday, the Amari Cooper lateral against San Francisco popped up a few times. And it's I do my own Chris Farley show where I'm interviewing Paul McCartney. It was like, you remember that? That was awesome. That was really good. I just looking at it going, what an incredible play that was. Like, just to go over there in the first place for Cooper to give him the ball, then him to dive like Superman. It's very reminiscent of like maybe his first big run like that early in that rookie year in Minnesota. He had a Superman dive to the pylon on a beautiful sunny day, you know, not in a snowstorm, but, you know, ideal conditions. But still, like, to see him do that is just awesome.
I wonder if we'll forget the name Amari Cooper for that in 5 years. Like, oh, he was on the Bills? It had to be.
It
was probably Mac Hollins who did that. I remember he was on the Bills for one season.
Was Gabe Davis still here?
Maybe it was Gabe Davis.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it was Shakir. He was good. I don't know. John is next. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Bulldog, man. Snake growing up, when I watched Sea of Hands and they could beat Miami, I remember I had three older brothers and they said they instantly, the whole family fell in love with him because they could beat Miami and we couldn't.
Worst late hit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That play, Manny Fernandez on Clarence Davis in the end zone on that play. Worst late hit I've ever. Like, that's just, you're not worried about it. He's just, I'm just diving in and taking, just whatever I have to, I'm just going to go.
Maybe if this ball comes loose here,
it'll still be worth it.
Right.
Yeah, to see Miami lose, it was worth it.
Agree.
A name I got for you, Marchiboro's Colts from the mid-70s, Burt Jones. Big arm, 76 MVP. Ran a little, not a lot.
Yeah.
Not as much as Josh. But, you know, up until this point, and it's all going to change for the Bills because they're going to win eventually. But they could never get past Pittsburgh. They could never get past Miami. Good teams, though.
I loved Burt Jones.
Me too. Had a poster.
Loved Burt Jones.
Bedroom poster.
Good
status.
Looking number seven. Like just it just all looked good. That uniform.
Did he break down physically? Is that why he didn't play for long? Like he retired at 31.
Wow. I did not know that he retired that early. I would assume it had to be injuries. I don't know why else a guy would stop playing at that age. Because it wasn't as lucrative back then, so you know maybe it didn't seem worth it anymore. I don't know, but yeah, I would think it had to be injuries.
He wore number 80. He wore number 17 for the 82 Rams, the strike year Rams, and he played. He started four games for that team. I have no memory of that.
No, I don't remember Ferragamo. I don't remember him anywhere else.
Yeah, Burt Jones, bedroom poster status.
All right,
I like the points the caller made about just like. He mentioned one MVP, which is true, but playoff losses, not a lot of them. I mean, it was a pretty short window, the Colts, in those years. But, you know, I don't remember him really well, but liked him. LSU, Burt Jones.
Yep. Just remember huge arm.
Huge arm. Throwing to Roger Carr.
I don't mean that he could throw it hard and far. I mean, he just had a huge arm.
Oh, like
a
yeah. Comic, he had one arm.
Like a Popeye. No,
yes.
Lydell Mitchell is running back.
Lydell Mitchell.
26.
Yeah. The Marchiboro Colts.
I probably got to stop now. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to remember anyone else from those teams.
Thanks, by the way, for some of you who have reached out about our new soccer podcast that's coming up called Kickies.
When did we decide on that for a name?
Kickies.
Exactly.
Well, it's still in R&D, okay. But... We don't want it to sound like we're too knowledgeable. Nutmeg is another name that's been thrown around as a possible title for the new soccer podcast.
I like that one better than Kickies.
Do you?
Yeah, I like Nutmeg.
All right.
It's a little more deep. You got to know more.
You got to know that the reference.
That might not work, though, for us. If we,
it's too it's, inside.
Right.
Yeah, that's why Kickies, I think, is better.
Kickies.
Plus, you love cereal, and it sounds like it could be a cereal. Kickies. Right?
Yes.
Blueberry Kickies today.
Kicks? Yeah, there you go.
That is a cereal.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should call it, but it's probably, you know,
trademark.
All rights reserved on Kicks. Matt Larkin, Daily Faceoff on the hockey playoffs. Another great game last night. Dallas with the huge third period to run past Edmonton. We'll talk to Matt about how things are going in the playoffs, the Leafs loss, and also the Sabres. Chances going forward. How about that? That's a conversation you've never heard. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Matt Larkin after the update on WGR.